Hey, it's Mike Halford from the Halford and Abruff podcast. First, thank you for downloading and listening. We really appreciate it. Two, enjoy whatever silliness is about to ensue. 8:04 on a Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Halford and Bruff of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. It is Black Friday. I'm looking on the TVs here. All four of them tune into King 5 News. And it reminds me of the classic Black Friday local news stand-up where they send the field reporter out to the Best Buy, wherever else. And there's the big lineup at Walmart. People can get $39 VCRs. And then she turns around and she's like, look at the craziness.
And then they go ask people like, What do you want? I'm looking for a DVD player or something. I don't know. It was a long time ago.
A free DVD player. But it's different now, though.
The only shopping that I've ever done in that way was Boxing Day way back in the day at A&B Sound.
Wow, good pull.
That's it. And I don't even remember if it was electronics or if it was just buying CDs or it was just like something to do.
I think I lined up in front of a Best Buy once. Where, like, the first 100 people got, like, a free toaster or something
right.
or other.
Yeah.
Is it ever worth it? Has anyone ever lined up for one of these sales and walked away and been like, that was worth it? You? Or are you too young for this? Because, like, most people just buy their things on
have
the
I,
line.
Have
now.
I ever stood in line for a big sale and walked away? No. I think those people have to...
I see all,
assess the situation a little bit better.
All the youths do it now for sneakers. When we used to work on Robson, that Foot Locker would have a line up in front of it all the time.
The only time I can ever remember standing in line for it to purchase anything was the old Ticketmaster kiosk at the local mall. Yep. That's the only time.
Mm-hmm. Right, lining up for concert tickets.
Yeah, and they'd hand out like little straw, like numbered straws or whatever, and it was like a lottery.
Yes.
Whenever I see young people line up for things now, I just assume it's a brunch place.
Right.
Their damn Instagrams.
It's a bunch of people lining up to take pictures of their food at 11 o'clock in the morning. What's the one that has a huge lineup all the time? Jam?
Jam, yeah.
Yolk out front.
Jam and yolk.
Yeah.
All the monosyllabic brunch places.
Yeah. Really I'm actually ready, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure he's loving this. Let's go to the phone lines now. Ian McIntyre joins us on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Ian. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Hey, Ian, did you hear Bo Horvat didn't go to the Halloween party? What do you think about that?
Oh, that means he's a terrible teammate. By the way, I was enjoying listening while I was on hold there because you guys made me smile, and we all need to laugh a little bit. So congratulations if you're making other people laugh right now as well. Now, are you guys old enough to remember Future Shop and A&B Sound?
Future Shop.
Yeah, I just mentioned A&B Sound. Yeah, that was the big Boxing Day sale.
Yeah. Exactly.
We had cheap CD prices. People would come to Vancouver and load up on CDs because we were known. It's the only thing Vancouver has ever had that has been cheaper than the rest of the world. We had cheap CD prices.
Cheap CD prices, and for a while, peeler bars, and that was what we were known for.
It's gone. Both those things are gone now.
Yeah.
Yes, people would line up, and so is A&B Sound and Future Shop, but people would line up for Boxing Day sale, like to go buy a video cassette recorder for $99 or whatever, you know. So, yes, I did line up. And you're right that nowadays when you see a lineup, you just think it must be chicken and waffles. All the hipsters.
iMac.
Chicken and waffles for brunch.
iMac, we got as much as we're trying to delay. We got to talk about this team. It feels like it's funny. Like they have a game tonight, and there's no who's on the third line or how are they? I don't know. I don't even know half the players on Columbus. And like it just it doesn't seem to matter right now. The games people are just waiting for something to happen, something to change. Whether it's a trade, whether it's a coaching change, whether it's a management change, whether it's just something. So I will ask you for the millionth time: when is it going to happen?
Well, I honestly thought it would happen yesterday. I really got the sense that there could be a change yesterday after that terrible game in Pittsburgh, and especially the first period. You know, the way that the team, it kind of replicated that non-performance in Denver on the previous road trip. And the reason that was so alarming, I mean, we've become accustomed to the Canucks underperforming this year and having some stinker games. But the reason the Pittsburgh game it was alarming is in that they came back from that awful road trip to Denver, Vegas, and Anaheim. And they actually played well at home. You know, they got one win, should have had at least two, but they played well. So you think, okay, maybe at least they've got their game together and they're going to now dig in and soldier through this rough spell. Maybe they win some games, maybe they don't, but at least they're going to be back in the fight. And then they go to Pittsburgh and it's a complete regression again. So I thought, and I'd heard rumblings that there could be something yesterday. Nothing transpired. It looks like we're going to have the same cast tonight in Columbus that we had in Pittsburgh. And you're right. There is this sense of kind of a almost a fatalistic feel around the team. Like this is, we get the sense this is all headed towards, you know, people being unemployed and roster change and upheaval. And there is a sense that we're kind of just waiting for that to happen.
As Jason alluded to off the top, there is this report out there about a lack of harmony within the dressing room and factions being developed. And is it Miller versus Horvat? And, you know, where does Tanner Pearson fall in all of this? Now, I wanted to ask you not necessarily about that, but you've been doing this for a while. We've been doing this for a while. This happens. These sorts of things happen everywhere when teams are mired in a losing streak and everyone is pissed off and unhappy. This isn't a Vancouver thing. This isn't a toxic media thing. This is what happens when you lose a bunch of games and your management group is calling everyone to try and get answers and solutions. And I think an important wrinkle here is the players won't talk, but they'll talk to their agents, and their agents will do the talking for them. So I mean, I'm sure you've seen this before and we'll see it again, but it is important to note that this is reflective of bad times. It's just not exclusive to Vancouver.
Yeah, I think falls under that umbrella, the very wide umbrella that nothing good comes from losing, and this is part of the nothing good. That said, and you're right that this isn't exclusive to Vancouver, but I think you need to differentiate. You know, are the reports exclusive to Vancouver, or is the actual disharmony, if there is any, exclusive to Vancouver? Because the reality is sometimes different than what, you know, people are talking about.
And
you know, in this particular case, if people on the Canucks have a problem with Bo Horvat, I would humbly suggest that reflects more on them than it does on Horvat. I really don't think there is any rift between Horvat and Miller or anybody, other than to say, and this part I think I'm on fairly safe ground, guys get pissed off when they lose, and it does test dressing rooms. And some people, you know, they're not idiots. Guys can see who's playing well and who's not, and who's playing hard and who's not, and who's, you know, doing everything they can for the team, and who's, you know, maybe playing not for themselves, but are more worried about their own stats. So in that respect, yes, losing causes a strain, but I really don't think there's any serious rift here in the dressing room, other than there's a lot of unhappy guys because this team has grossly underperformed, and it probably bothers some guys more than others.
Will ownership be doing any self-reflection along these days? Because, I mean, if you're going to ask me what is the main problem with the Canucks, what is this all a result of? This is a result of trying to stay competitive while rebuilding. And at the end of the day, you've tried to do two things that in some ways are divergent from each other, and you've done neither of them well. When you think of all the money the Canucks have spent on veteran guys who are quote unquote good in the room, and now the room sucks. Like, you know, and I just wonder if ownership is looking at this and going, have we made the job too hard for our management? You know, should we hire a president? Do we need to stay out of the way more? I wonder what they're saying. I wonder if there's some honest self-reflection and looking in the mirror by the people that control the purse strings of this team.
Well, you sure hope so, because you're right in that they've spent a crap load of money on this team. They've basically been a cap team for all but I think the first couple of years of Benning's time here. And, you know, it's possible that the problem is they haven't been more involved, that they've had too much faith in the people that they've hired. But you would, yes, I would say you'd hope there'd be reflection and how did they get to this point, but now how are they going to move beyond it? And, you know, I think, you know, to get back to this question about the room, I thought it was very interesting, and it didn't get a whole lot of play under the circumstances last week when Jim Benning emerged during the crisis to do his press conference, how he mentioned that the team has now been turned over to the young players. And in terms of culture, I don't think it's so much about this guy versus that guy. I think there's maybe a broader question here about the readiness of those elite young players to actually lead the team. Because it's one thing, you know, to try and play well because you're part of the team. It's a whole other pressure when you've got to play well because you have to, and the team wants you to be out there in the front and leading. And I think that, as much as anything, might be the culture problem here, is that the guys that a lot of us thought were ready to lead this team are not ready. But how you get out of that now, I mean, you can't, nobody wants them to go out and sign more veteran players, right, to improve the leadership group. They're going to have to figure this out with the guys they have. I also don't think that there's a whole lot of appetite to start making sweeping changes to the group. It's so hard to find these young core players. You can't just start discarding them, especially from a position of weakness and making trades. So as far as the group itself, they're going to have to just work through this. As far as the decisions that have led to this, there should be some reflection and where do they need to do better in this?
When we're talking about the young players that maybe weren't ready to lead, are we just talking about Pettersson here? Because Bo Horvat's not even a young player anymore. He's played over 500 games in the NHL. He's had plenty of
Bo Horvat's the problem. I don't think that's what we're talking about. I think we're talking about, you know, Brock Besser,
right,
and Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes. And again, it's not about an appetite to lead or a willingness to lead. Those guys are fiercely competitive, but there's an added pressure when you're the guy and there's no safety net. And I think that's what the problem is. I also don't think, you know, as an aside, you know, when Pettersson did his interview in Sweden in the summer and said, I only want to play for the team if it's winning. And that's not the exact quote, but that was the gist of it. That probably doesn't sit too well with some guys when he comes back and he plays the way that he has. Now, that's just a small example, but I think it's an entirely different dynamic when you're expected to be the guy, and you're, let's face it, you're being paid to be the guy. And I just wonder whether that group wasn't ready and whether there was a miscalculation about, you know, how ready they were, in a similar respect to there was a miscalculation the year before about what losing Markstrom and Stetcher and Tanev would do to the culture and the leadership group.
What do you think the Sedins think of all this?
They're probably wondering whether they should have just extended their family time a little bit. I think they're probably horrified.
Well, they got to be part of the solution. I mean, isn't this where the organization could really use the Sedins?
Yeah, but in the solution, how? They're not going to go into the dressing room and lecture players, because honestly, no matter what we think, there's a disconnect between young players who never played with them and these two older guys, you know, coming in. It doesn't mean they're not respected, but I don't think it's as simple as that. I think, you know, it's they're learning the management side of the business, knowing them the little bit that I do, I think, you know, they know what they don't know. And, you know, they would say themselves, hey, they're not ready to run a hockey team or certainly take over this one. So I think they can be part of the solution. But they're hired in June, so they're 5 months into this. I think there's a long way to go before, you know, their influence would really be felt. It certainly doesn't hurt to have them around, but they're not going to be able to go in and walk on water and perform miracles and somehow, you know, tell players how to play and everything's going to be all right. It's not that simple.
Hi, Mac. Thanks for doing this today. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. Best of luck with everything over the weekend, and we will do this again next week.
Thanks, guys. I'll look forward to it. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you. That's Ian McIntyre here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. The European draw is currently going on for the Do or Die World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah. Who did Portugal get? Who did Italy get?
Portugal and Italy will square off against one another for a spot. They're on the same side of the draw.
They will?
Yep. It's happening right now. I'm just
There are four groups, right?
So they won't play each other in the first round.
Right.
They will if they have to go through one another to get one of the three spots.
Three spots left.
It's a big thing making the rounds on the socials right now. I'll get up to speed
on
it
more. So what you're telling me is that one of Italy or Portugal will not be at the World Cup.
There is a very good chance that Italy and Portugal will be playing each other in a do or die for one spot in the World Cup. One will go and one won't. Yes, that's what I am telling you. I will give you more information on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Welcome to Colonelfarnia, West Coast.
Yeah. Kelowna, baby. Best place in the world right here.
Hey! 8:28 on a Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. There it is. Halford and Brough are brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Three dealerships to serve you better: North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, and Burrard Acura on Terminal Avenue. I am now going to petition them for a fourth in Kelowna. And then this song just plays in the showroom on loop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Huh? Marketing genius.
No, thank you.
It'll be like the New Year's room at, is it Itchy and Scratchy Land?
Right. Please kill me.
Where it was New Year's every day, every hour on the hour.
Yeah.
Kill me. Okay. You want to do some... Do we have any What We Learns we need to get out of the way? Did any of you learn anything?
Yeah, you have a What We Learn in that you're going to go over the UEFA second round groups.
Yeah, it's set now. So we mentioned this prior to going to break. Italy and Portugal won't play each other in the first round. But if either of them want to get to the World Cup, presumably they will have to face off against one another for one of the three spots remaining. They are drawn into Pod C, if you will. So Italy will play Northern Macedonia. Portugal will play Turkey.
That'll be tough against Turkey. I know Turkey's fallen off a little bit, but Portugal has to host Turkey. And then, so let's say Portugal beats Turkey and Italy beats North Macedonia. Then Portugal would play Italy and only one of them would go through to the World Cup.
Yes.
Portugal, to me, is the team that's got to be kicking itself the most.
Because they had a chance to take care of Serbia, who has never beaten Portugal before, in Lisbon in that final qualifier.
And they allowed a late goal to allow Serbia to go through.
To be fair, Italy will also be kicking itself because it was not good at penalty kicks.
Right.
In its qualification down the stretch.
But at least Italy has that recent win at the Euros.
I don't recall that win. I don't really remember it at all. So the story here is you've got the 2016 Euro champions and the 2020 Euro champions, if I have the timing correct.
So the other group is Russia, Poland, Sweden, and the Czech Republic. And I suppose from a Great Britain perspective, this is interesting as well. Wales will host Austria, Scotland will host Ukraine, so it could be, in theory, Wales versus Scotland.
Yeah, the winner gets all the sheep.
Have you seen my What We Learned, by the way, is that the FIFA president, Gianni Infantino, have I got that right?
Close enough.
He's getting a little passive aggressive with some of the soccer powers around the world because FIFA wants to have the World Cup every 2 years. Mm-hmm. But the European countries, UEFA specifically, and I think South America, what is that called? CONMEBOL or something like that?
Yeah, so basically it would wipe out the Copa America and the European Championship.
Exactly. And so this is what Infantino had to say. Those who are against this, meaning the World Cup every 2 years, are those who are at the top. It happens in every sector of life. When there are reforms and changes, those who are at the top don't want anything to change. They are afraid, maybe, that if something changes, their leadership position is at risk. He said that, I believe, in a speech to African soccer leaders.
Yep.
So they're obviously trying to get the African nations on board with this plan. But I don't want this. I don't want a World Cup every 2 years.
The Continental Championships mean something.
I'm not on top. I'm a Canadian soccer fan.
You're on the bottom.
You're bottom. I'm an English supporter too, but I love the fact that the World Cup is every 4 years, and that every 4 years on the alternating schedule, you have the Euros. The Euros are an awesome tournament.
Could you imagine a world without the Gold Cup?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, we all can.
Bad example. Fine. There have been times that the European Championships have been a better tournament than the World Cup, at least in terms of quality of matches.
Well, there's better teams overall.
Yeah, you don't get the minnows.
You don't get the. Well.
No, you do get
minnows. Yeah, you do now. No, you do now because.
Not the same.
But the Euro tournament has expanded.
The Euro minnows were battle tested going into it because they had to go up against pretty good European countries to qualify.
Might I remind you, Slovakia lost to Spain 7-2.
Right.
Slovakia is one of those countries that
we're
talking
about.
Yeah, but
Slovakia had, Hungary, for example,
sure,
played out of its mind at Euro.
Sure.
They fell back to the pack in World Cup qualifying. I'm talking about when you're getting the third
Hungary
team.
At the Euros wasn't very good at all.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they were.
They were?
Right, yeah. Until the end of the stage.
Into the bitter end. They were bad in World Cup qualifying.
But what's your example at the World Cup?
When Tahiti is playing New Zealand for a backdoor spot to get in from Oceania. Because that's where they're going to expand the field to, right? When you're talking about the fourth place team from CONCACAF, which I think at this stage would probably be Panama if I had to bet on it, Panama is going to be playing some third-rate country from Asia or Oceania for a spot. That's what gets wet. Really, really waters down the competition.
Gary texts in, I feel all this soccer talk is incredibly self-indulgent. Thank goodness this listener can pivot to podcasts. Canada is a soccer nation now.
I hate to warn you about the Hour 2 podcast, Chief, but that one's got a lot of soccer talk too.
Soccer is one of the things that Canadian sports fans, and especially in this market where we're so starved for a winner, people are excited about this.
How self-indulgent is it to text into a sports talk show and say that they're being self-indulgent because they're talking about sports?
How much more can we talk about this Canucks team? The whole theme of this Canucks team is that we're all just waiting around for something to happen. Is anyone interested in a preview of tonight's Canucks Blue Jackets game?
Yeah! Who's in net?
Do you guys know the meme of Pablo Escobar just kind of sitting around waiting?
Yeah.
That's Canucks fans right now.
Yeah, sad Escobar.
Yeah.
Okay, we've had two texts, and Ask Us Anything, and What We Learned, coming off of yesterday's conversation. You had a buddy who got fined from your beer league hockey team because the cooler was filled with only, and this is important, exclusively and only pale ales.
Right.
So we had a text come in really early this morning from Aaron the Amateur. Amateur what? I don't know. Hashtag WW What We Learned. I listen to your show on podcast, so I don't listen live, but yesterday I learned about your disdain for pale ales as a post-game beer. You mentioned they are worthy of a $50 fine, and that's just plain wrong. Maybe you are just getting the wrong pale ales. We drink Strange Fellows Talisman Pale Ale, a very good pale ale, and it is the perfect post-game beer. Aaron, you misheard. It cannot be exclusively
Have the option of the lager.
That's the key to the whole thing.
This guy sounds like a beer snob as well.
Peter in Cloverdale then hasn't asked us anything. Do you think Horvat lost the team when he brought only pale ales into the locker room? Oh, classic mistake.
No, it's really good, guys.
Try it. It tastes like pumpkin.
JT Miller, the American.
Oh, could you imagine?
With his Bud
like,
Light.
It's Bud Light or nothing.
Yeah. Guys crushing natties on the side, spitting on the floor. I could see
Bush
that.
Light.
Yeah, I like a good Bush Light.
Dom the painter texts in, I have an interesting question.
Okay.
With the Miller and Besser trade block situation, I don't know if they're on the block, but there's been trade talk.
Yeah.
Will we look back on the Lotto line era as we do the West Coast Express? Both lines came about 10 years after the Canucks' glory eras. Both were statistically similar in terms of points and dominance, and both lines took the Canucks to Game 7 of Round 3.
Hey,
no, I don't think so. The West Coast Express was... That was almost the team. Like, the team was called the West Coast Express.
And it kind of got derailed. See what I did there?
Yeah, the ending of it was, well, unless something dramatic happens.
JT Miller.
He does have a temper.
He's angry. The West Coast Express, I think, had more relevance and shelf life.
I also think it was so unique in the NHL because that was still a time when the NHL didn't have very much scoring.
Naslund also won the Pearson. And that was a higher ascendancy than any of the Lotto line guys got. Like, what would be the major accolade there that Petey won the Calder, right? That would be it. There was nothing else of note. I think I got to go. You know what? Who's the texter again? Do you have it in front of you still? Kudos for the comparison analogy. I like it. You're thinking outside the box.
Dom
it's
the
good.
Painter. Yeah.
But ultimately, we're going to have to vote this one no. It's an ask us anything. We have to answer. So, no, it's not quite there.
An ask us anything.
I
like this one from Adam, the former Bath guy. If you had the opportunity, would you drive through a roadside puddle to splash a coworker walking beside said puddle?
Yep.
We've done this, I think.
Who?
This question.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a conversation about
splashing people.
The roadside puddle, but I don't know if it had to do with the coworker. Well, it depends on the coworker.
Doesn't really.
Like if it's Reach or Randy, 100%, because that's good laughs. That's radio content.
Anyone, it's a good laugh. Really? That's classic comedy.
What, an old lady with a walker? I mean,
like
that's good laugh?
Like if it's our secretary out front.
We work with old ladies now, and I've been around here. There's not.
Any coworker you're talking
about.
Anyone.
That's the question. That's a coworker. It's not anybody.
It wouldn't be funny for anyone because there are certain like sweethearts in the building where if you splash them, you'd legitimately feel bad.
I disagree. I think it's always good comedy.
Power rank the sweethearts in the building, Dom.
I don't know them by name, just by face.
Sweethearts.
You know those people?
I'm equal.
How old are you?
Cross you guys off the list.
I'm your sweetheart.
I'm equal opportunity when it comes to comedy. Everyone is fair game.
You're an equal opportunity. Yeah, okay. Equal.
What if it's 8 in the morning and that person then has to go to work and deal with that?
It's dirty water, too. Like, it's not clean water you're spraying these people with.
And if it happens to me, there go I, by the same sword. I have to live with it.
I like this one
I will be a victim for comedy.
I like this one from Chayton in Surrey.
Okay.
Oh, God. I can just imagine how mad you would be if you got splashed by a puddle.
Me?
Oh, yes. You would be so...
I'm the cool, chill guy.
Guess what? Halford isn't as relaxed as he sounds on the air. Ask people that play sports with him. Ask us anything.
That's
from
different.
Chayton in Surrey. With the consensus Mount Rushmore of hockey being Gretzky, Mario, Gordie Howe and Bobby Orr, do you guys see Crosby, Ovi, McDavid, or anyone else ever superseding the current four? That is a tough one for me. Gretzky and Mario would be really tough for me because I watched them, right? I didn't watch Gordie Howe, and I just
missed
Bobby
Orr.
You were
only like 20 years old when Gordie Howe was playing.
Because
he's so old.
Yeah, I'm two or three years older than you. I think McDavid is going to have to be in that conversation at some point. I don't know about Crosby, and I don't know about Ovi, but it's just pure opinion, right? Some people would have, like, Ovi has to be on there. He's the greatest goal scorer in NHL history, even if it's not the amount of goals. Like, you consider the eras and you compare them, how hard it has been for Ovi to score versus, you know, Gretzky to score. A lot of it has to do with your memories and I think of when you watch them.
Well, exactly. It becomes a personalized Mount Rushmore. Here's the thing with the whole Mount Rushmore meme or trope or whatever you want to call it. I think we need to retire it because the more we realize It's more used for evil than good. So, for example, there's always like there's always the new guy looking to make his mark, and he'll do something insane. I think Scott Wheeler was doing it the other day, and he, you know, if you're young, like not like Jason, but kind of like Jason, and you don't remember a particular player, then you won't put him on there. And then you get some guy that always wants to just garner some kind of attention. So it's like, I think Max Afinoganov should be on the, you know, and it's like, and everyone's like, come on, you're just doing this because you want to get attention.
Do you think he should be, though?
I mean, you've seen those before, right? Or it's like, Stu Barnes was an underrated checking forward.
Yeah,
I'm like, come
it
on,
would
yeah.
be like a blog post. I'd be like, actually, Pavel Datsyuk was the greatest of all time.
There's not enough respect for Jay Pandolfo. It's all the, and it's just
that's
like,
something
okay.
Drantz would write.
Yeah, it would.
You guys wouldn't like my Hall of Fame goalie suggestion.
Go ahead.
Thomas Vokoun.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. Well,
but his career save percentage has got to be
it's
right
up
there, right?
You look at his numbers, and he just played for markets you never heard from. Nashville when they were just starting out, Florida.
Is Tuukka Hall of Fame for you?
He might have to play a couple more years, I
but think. His career save percentage is way up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you
close.
Have to look at eras,
he's
right?
closer than people think, probably. There's a lot more goalies that should get in that.
Is he going to play again? Have you been following
yeah,
that story? Like, is he going to play for the Bruins?
Friedman's last report was his first choice is the Bruins, but it doesn't have to be the Bruins. But he wants to come back.
I wonder if he'd go to Edmonton. Seriously, though.
Yeah, I can see that. The only thing I really remember about Thomas Vokoun was that year where he thought he was going to get paid in free agency, and then he didn't. And then I think he signed in Washington for like $900, and then he fired his agent right away.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
His agent cost him a lot of money.
Also, I also just remember Keith Ballard smoking him in the head.
Get slashed in the head by Keith Ballard. Was that the most memorable thing Keith Ballard ever did? Slashing Vokoun in the head?
Probably.
Yeah.
His own goalie.
Dang it.
Yeah, I think that outweighed the hip checks and that one shift he played in the game in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Where he looked like a dog trying to cross the highway. He was so confused.
It's amazing to me.
He was playing human Frogger. Like,
some players are only known for their hip checks.
Yeah. Like
when you think about him, one of them, Dan Hamhuis, great hip checker.
Yep.
Darius Kasparaitis.
I feel like I remember
Blake.
Dan Hamhuis.
Rob Blake had a big ass. He used to get it out there.
I remember Dan Hamhuis for more than his hip checks. I remember the hip check he shouldn't have done.
That too.
Where he tore his body apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were so confident back then. When he did that it was kind of like, that will be fine.
Yeah, no problem. Who's up next? Oh, God, it's Ballard. Okay, Adam the Foreign Bath Guy, not even an ask us anything more of what we learned, but we learned it. I got a tattoo at West Edmonton Mall. There's something you can do with the family. You guys can all get matching tats.
Wow. Okay.
You can get a face tattoo.
I won't do that. I don't think I'm ever going to get a tattoo.
You get a face tattoo.
Unless I go to prison, then I'll get one.
Because
then it's just something to do, right?
Yeah. There's lots of things to do in
prison.
There's
a radio station in the mall.
There's a radio station in the mall?
Yeah. You can look in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you think I could do like a guest spot?
it's a different company, but
right.
Yeah, sure you could cross over.
Van City Zavid in Toronto, a movie one. Well, what we learned when we were talking about sequels to movies. Mm-hmm. He said, speaking of sequels, the new Ghostbusters was very, very good. I've seen the commercials, the advertisements for this one.
So is that Reitman's son? Is directing that?
Yeah, and it's Paul Rudd, correct? And it's like Paul Rudd and his son get to go on the wacky hijinks of busting ghosts.
I'm still not interested. I'm just not. I saw Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It was good.
I don't need, again, this is not a spicy hot take. Everyone says this nowadays, but everything is being rebooted.
Yeah,
they're doing
everything to be rebooted.
Did you see they're doing a dramatic version of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
What?
Yes, a dramatic retelling of The Fresh Prince.
Is Will the dad? Is that what I'm reading?
Maybe. I don't know.
Dom's nodding, so I'm going to say yes.
But he nods. Is that correct?
It's correct.
These are all correct.
Is Will Smith going to get an Oscar for this performance where he's the dad?
King Richard,
Richard
Williams. Venus Williams' he's, father?
Right.
He's got Oscar buzz, yeah.
Okay. That'll be the
that'll
be a super long speech.
Why is that funny? That was so funny. I don't really know why. Just Dom being like, oh, yeah. He's got.
Oh, yeah. There's buzz.
He's got Oscar buzz.
I was reading Variety the other day.
Oh, Dom, are you reading the trades again? Okay.
Kevin on the road, what we learned. My son asked me why I keep watching Canucks games if it makes me so angry. For the first time in his life, Daddy didn't have an answer.
No.
The answer was, shut up, boy.
Yeah. Daddy drinks because you cry. I don't know. I don't know why we do it. I mean, we have to do it for work. But here's the thing, to turn this into a semi-serious tangent. This is how apathy sets in. When you don't have a good reason to give your son as to why you're watching this, you might have a moment of self-reflection and be like, wait, why am I doing this? All I'm doing is getting angry. I'm angry.
Welcome to my life. What we learned, the most success this ownership group has had was when they let someone else run the team. The more ownership has inserted themselves into running the team, the more dysfunctional and directionless it has become.
I'm angry.
I wonder if there was a time where, and I think there was at the beginning of the Mike Gillis era, and especially when the Canucks were having success, where the management group was left to run the show, and then trust eroded as the wins became losses, and then ownership became more involved. If you go back to the Dave Nonis era, Dave Nonis will not say that ownership was hands-off with this current group. Like, it just won't. Mm-hmm. It'll be the same complaints that some people have now.
Sure.
I just really think and hope that there is an honest discussion among the group of people that own this team, that ultimately have all the power. Is there stuff that we've been doing that we shouldn't be doing? Are there changes that we should make? Because if they're not having those discussions, then all the way down the line, it matters, I know. Like, it still matters who the GM is and who the head coach is and who the players. Obviously, it still matters. And you can win a Stanley Cup without the most efficient ownership group. Like, it's possible. There's all sorts. Like, the Pittsburgh Penguins have had ownership issues in that the owners haven't gotten along all the time, right? Like, you've heard it constant. Like, there's a reason why they're being sold, right?
Yep.
There have been power struggles among... I know the Kyle Beach situation kind of distracts from everything that was going on with the Blackhawks, but there were power struggles while the Blackhawks were winning Stanley Cups.
Yep.
Like, they apparently, you would hear the stories, and like, they were looking for every reason to fire Quenneville, but he just kept winning cups, and they're like, I guess we got to keep him, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that sort of stuff happens all the time, even at teams where from the outside it looks like everything's running smoothly. In fact, when teams become more successful and the revenues grow and the teams are making more money and there's more opportunity, that's often when the power struggles do develop, because you've got things like, well, I feel like I should be getting more credit, mm-hmm. or I don't like this guy, or we've got all these opportunities. Which opportunity are we going to pick and put all sorts of resources into? That's when problems often arise. But getting back to the Canucks ownership, like, I really do think that the main thing that has been a challenge for this team is the notion of, we want to remain competitive, we want to try and make the playoffs every year, but oh yeah, you also have to rebuild.
I'm continuing to unfurl new things that you guys can do at West Edmonton Mall when you go.
I knew so, you weren't into that conversation.
Unsigned tech, well, it's Ask Us Anything Friday. We got to serve the people. These are not our airwaves, Jason. We merely loan them. Or rent them. I don't even know what the saying is. Doesn't matter. West Edmonton Mall. Here's something you guys can do. Another family fun activity. A Bubba Gump Shrimp Factory restaurant. So these still exist, which is amazing to me. Right? You know what I'm talking
about,
right?
It's big business, yeah.
I don't know if it's big business. I think it's like moderately sized business. It's crazy to me that a movie that's now well over, it's 25 years old,
yeah,
still has a chain of theme restaurants. So the second highest grossing movie that year was Forrest Gump. The fourth highest grossing movie that year was The Mask with Jim Carrey.
Smoky.
Could you imagine going to a mask theme restaurant right now?
Yeah.
How dated the references to me. The waiter comes up, he's like, smoking. I've been doing this for 15 years, man. Just order some. I'll get you some jalapeno poppers. Everyone will be happy. Could
please
you imagine?
Kill me.
Yeah, please. Exactly. Hello. Welcome to the restaurant. Tonight we are smoking.
No, it would be some special. And I think you'll find our French onion soup is smoking.
Like, my manager's watching me. I have to say that.
I love that the only pull we have from The Mask is smoking.
That's the only thing I remember about that movie.
That's the only thing?
Somebody stop me.
That's what you have. It's an all-you-can-eat restaurant. That's what you have to say
that's
at the end of the meal,
remember?
Or they keep bringing you food.
You don't remember Cameron Diaz in her prime?
Well, yeah, I knew she was in the movie.
Yeah.
but Cameron Diaz has had a wide.
True,
a
but
wide,
that was the film that put her on the map.
She had a very good.
That was, yeah. I remember she went on Letterman once, and I was looking forward to it, and then she laughed. She's got a very strange laugh.
Yes, she does.
And I was kind of like, oh.
Off-put?
Like, that could have been a Seinfeld episode, you know? Like, the bad laugh.
Yeah, I think it was.
Don't you think? She like, I'm not alone here, right?
No, you're not.
Okay.
I kind of do remember the bad laugh. Somebody stop me from eating.
Okay, all right, what do else you have got? Anything?
I just did one.
Ask us anything. Who would you guys want to have on your team? Peak McDavid, if that's what we're seeing right now, or peak Crosby?
Crosby.
That we were robbed of seeing for a long stretch because of injuries.
Crosby.
Why?
Because I think I'm going to sound like John Tortorella. I think his game is better suited for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tempted to say that, but I just think McDavid's a better player than Crosby.
I know, but here's the thing.
And nope. I'm the biggest Crosby fan there is, but I just think what we're seeing from McDavid right now. Here's, and by the way, I don't have any time for the actually Draisaitl's better than him.
Yeah.
Draisaitl is a very good player, but I would take McDavid on my team.
Draisaitl's the best German player.
100 times out of 100. No, I mean, Draisaitl's a terrific player.
Good German.
And I realize his, but I just could never make that decision. Like, who do you want, McDavid or Draisaitl? They're like, McDavid.
The problem with the question is that I know what Crosby is capable of. I still don't know like what all McDavid is going to win, but Crosby's literally won everything, right? Every level, every tournament that he's played at, he wins.
And he's scored big goals.
Right, so it's kind of like, well, you have to take that, don't you, if the end goal is winning. Now, entertainment value, it's McDavid.
I cannot wait to see the rest of the year for McDavid. We're talking about things to look forward to, and I realize that not a lot of people here want to see the Oilers have playoff success, but I want to see McDavid in big games. And that is the one thing that McDavid has not been able to do. He hasn't played in big games. I said this, you know, it's not a breaking news that McDavid hasn't played in big games. By the time that Crosby was McDavid's age, he'd won a cup. He'd won a gold medal and scored a huge goal. Like he'd won it all.
Yeah.
And we're going to see it this year. We're going to see if, you know, the NHLers go to the Olympics.
Unless Edmonton fails in the playoffs. Well,
unless the NHLers play the Olympics and the Oilers choke in the playoffs, then we won't see it.
Both of which are totally possible and within the realm of possibility. Okay. You mentioned Cameron Diaz's laugh. Dom found it. Okay, can you play it? This is Cameron Diaz's laugh.
Dave, I'm kidding. Yeah.
She
sounds like Jason Spezza.
She does sound like Jason Spezza.
Vibes.
Like kind of out of control laughing? Yep. Like almost a panic laugh?
Yeah, there's a bit of panic involved in it.
Right? I have a panic laugh.
Yeah, you're the dolphin laugh. I'm all the best,
but I'm happy to know it's all over with and we can kind of move on. The summer can be a distraction if there's somebody asks for a trade request.
See, the crazy part of all that no one ever pays attention to is that it was not funny at all what he was laughing to. He was talking to someone requesting a trade over the summer.
It was a panic laugh,
yeah,
too.
It was a big-time panic laugh.
Our poll question today, the Regal Grooming Lounge, Halford & Brough poll question. What should the Canucks do with JT Miller? Two options, keep and re-sign or trade before the deadline. 60% of you saying trade him.
We got to get out of here for another week, but barring any crazy mishaps over the weekend, we will be back on Monday. Thank you all once again for listening and contributing and sticking with us during what are very, very dark times, at least for the local hockey squadron. We got to get out of here. We'll be back on Monday. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He's been Jason Brough. He's been Nephew Dom, and he's been Laddie. This has been the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.